the beginning of it. And then we see later on that Jesus is presented. And so at this time of the year, we're thinking about that. But a lot of times, then, you know, the end of this text is a lot of times mentioned at it. And this text has always intrigued me. So let's go down to the end. And it's in verse 41. It's not necessarily Christmas, but it's still when Jesus is a child. Look at verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. When they had found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. This evening, I want to just take a few moments, and I will be that. Just a few moments. You're not going to believe it. All right? You're going to say it is impossible. Well, we had a lot of music. All right? And so we're going to try to have 2 points this evening. 1 point may be real long. We're going to try not to, all right? But we're going to try to look at two ideas, and that is, are you, and we have the majority are saved here this evening, but as an unsaved individual, are you living without Christ? But as a saved individual, are you living without Christ? You notice in the main text there is verse 44. It says, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we would ask that you would meet with us this evening. As always, Lord, I ask for you to do that which I can't, and that is to speak to hearts. Thank you for Lord Seth and Mariah Custer and them taking their time to be with us. Lord, what a treat it was. Lord, especially at this time of the year. Lord, there's nothing more special than think about Christ and what you gave us at this time of the year. Then we have Easter, Lord, and we celebrate that. But there is something special about thinking about you, God himself becoming flesh and dwelling among us. Lord, we want to thank you for that. We thank you for coming down and providing a way of salvation. But Lord, as we look at this text this evening, I pray that we would consider in our Christian walk, Lord, that you are with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When Christ was 12, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem for the Passover. On the way back home, they thought that Christ was with them. They thought. You notice in that text, it says, but they, and this is talking about Mary and Joseph, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. So I have two thoughts here. The first one is the result of Christ's absence. And the second is the reasons. And I'd like for all of us to consider this. As I mentioned, almost all of us are saved here tonight. And so there is an application to the unsaved. And if somebody is unsaved, we'll try to help you as far as making that application. But the majority of us are Christians here this evening. And I would venture to say, and this has happened in my life, and I would say as a young person, it's happening for some of you, but then as we get older, it still happens to me. I'm traveling down the road, and it hasn't occurred to me that Christ is not with me. And that's what I'd like us to consider this evening. Make sure in your traveling in this life that Christ is with you. Because some of you are supposing him to be with you. You're supposing him to be in your company, just like Joseph and Mary. They supposed, and he wasn't there. And it's sad for an unsaved individual to travel through this life, to come, as Seth was talking about it, to come at Christmas time and try to whip up some happiness and whip up some Christmas joy. Just like you can whip up maybe some eggnog or something I can drink, and all of a sudden, man, that don't make me happy. Well, maybe if you mix it right, all right? But the next day, it ain't going to be feeling good. But here in this text, what we're talking about as far as the unsaved, someone can whip up something and say, man, you know what? We can whip it up at this Christmas time, but to go through life and celebrate, think as an American, to celebrate Christmas. And maybe, you know, in Michigan, you have these whole towns that are dedicated to Christmas. We're the Christmasville of Michigan, or the Christmasville. My wife and I were in Switzerland one time, and I think there is a Christmas Switzerland. Right? But they have no clue. No clue. Going through life, and maybe there is a worker making some special lighting tree, or maybe some other type of thing, ornament that is there, that's decorations. And here they work in this place, but yet they have no idea that Christ is not with them. Now that's to the unsaved, we might say. But what about you and I? You notice in our text, notice some results of Christ's absence. They went a day's journey. They went a day's journey. And you can almost, in essence, feel the weight that comes upon Mary and Joseph. What are some results of us walking without Christ? Well, I think that without Him, I think that they lost a lot of peace. Have you had that happen? I can remember one time, it was when my kids were little, and we went to Lincoln Park Zoo. We would do that when they were little a lot. And Lincoln Park Zoo has a million lights at Christmas time. And so we walk in, and they have the ice carving right up front. And you're seeing all the ice carvings, and there's all these lights everywhere. And we're sitting there, and I can remember looking down, and one of the kids. Now, some of you are thinking, why would you be upset that they're missing? All right, I understand that. You've met my children. You're like, why? You should have been. That would have been Christmas joy right there. All right. But I look down and I'm like, oh no. All right. And you're in Chicago. All right. It's dark. I know they're saying there's a million lights, but I'm not seeing them very well. And there's a piece that is missing at that moment. Okay. You might have had that as a little kid. Right, you got lost from your parents. You're hanging on to somebody. You know, maybe it's the rule that you got to hang on, and then all of a sudden you're hanging on to the wrong person. All right, and the peace is gone. Well, in the same way, supposing this idea of a supposition. All right, it's make believe. Supposing, and one of the results of us going through life and thinking that Christ is with us as a saved individual, and I understand the idea of I'm not talking about losing your salvation, but I'm talking to folks tonight. Some of you walk through life as a Christian, and Christ is nowhere in your midst. Nowhere in your midst. You'd say, well, wait a minute, you know what? I thought He was with me. That's what you see with Mary and Joseph. And what's the result? There's some of you, and I've talked with some of you, I've prayed with some of you, and there is no peace in your soul. No peace. And what's amazing to me is you can go through one of the hardest trials in life, and when you know Christ is with you, I'm not saying you're whistling Dixie. I wouldn't do that anyways, Pastor Parrish. All right? No way. All right? They lost. All right? But I wouldn't be whistling that. Okay? But I'm not saying that you're going to be whistling and all bubbly. But guess what? They say cancer and you know Christ is with you. It's not, what am I going to do? No, Christ is with me. There's a peace. There's a peace that's there. But I've been to, and some of you have visited folks, and some tragedy comes. They say that they're Christians. I have no idea what kind of Christianity they have. But they are supposing Christ is with them. See, one of the results of Christ's absence is a lack of peace. I think also there's a lack of pleasure. And that's kind of the same thing, the lack of peace. Alas, I think they lost some pleasure. And then notice also in this text, they went a day's journey. You know what also they lost? They had a lack of progress. They went down a road, and what did they have to do? They had to backtrack. And guess what? Many times in our walk with the Lord, we're heading down somewhere, and we think Christ is with us, and you're wasting your time. Wasting your time. Here in this text, what is it like to live without Christ? Well, the result, a lack of peace, a lack of pleasure, a lack of progress. Wow. I don't want to just suppose that Christ is with me. I want to have Him with me. But then you notice also here, they supposed Him to have been with them. And I think, all right, so why? What are some reasons? Remember, I only said 2 points. You guys are shocked, all right? 2 points. Why are some reasons? So the results, we see some of the results, but why would it be that we're heading down the road and Christ isn't with us? Well, I think there's a couple reasons that we can see. Jesus, it says in verse 43, notice what it says, and when they had fulfilled the days and they returned the child Jesus, guess what it says he did? He tarried. He tarried. So one of the reasons for Christ's absence is that, guess what we do? We run around in haste while Jesus tarries. And this is what I think even Seth mentioned this at the beginning when at 5 o'clock when he started and his wife played a few pieces with a harp, and he was saying that music can set a tone. Right? Music can set a tone, and he said that. In your life and in my life, it's not just music, it's a lot of things, but Christ wants to set a tone in your life, and that tone is a calmness. He says, be still. And know that I am God. He says often, wait on the Lord. Remember when Elisha, I believe it was, when he was trying to find out God and say, where are you at? I didn't see you in the wind, and I didn't hear you in the thunder. It was a still, small voice. And you and I, sometimes the reason that we think Christ is with us is because in haste, some of you flutter around and you keep it so busy that you never can spend an extra hour with God. And you're fluttering around, supposing that Christ is with you. Christ has tarried. Christ has tarried. And He's asking you to stay there with Him. You see, there's reasons tarrying. If we want our cup filled spiritually, we need to tarry. Tarry. But then you also, I think in this thing, I think we see some, they were occupied. That's very similar. So they were in haste. They were occupied. They were so occupied with other things. I think we see that right in the text. They're so occupied with getting back that they forget Christ. Don't be so occupied at Christmas time that you forget Christ. That's why even some, I could tell, like, oh, well, you know, Christmas Eve, you're not having anything. New Year's Eve, you're not having anything. Why? Tarry. Don't be so occupied with everything else. And you say, maybe some of you, like even, well, we're done with college and we're having just our Thursday night service. We're doing Friday, and it's just Friday night, and it's pretty quick. And then just Sunday morning, we're not having Sunday night and nothing on Saturday. And you say, well, what am I supposed to do? Tarry. Like, well, I guess I can fill it up with all kinds of things. You're gonna leave Christ then. Don't be so occupied that you forget Christ. But I think also, the last thing here is, I think you see carelessness. Did you see carelessness? I mean, you think that's, and remember, we know this, and the Catholics really have made a big deal about what Mary said. I remember this is much later, but the Catholics, they've gone really bonkers with what Mary said. But Mary did say that Jesus was her Savior, so she kind of got that, but maybe a few years ago. And you forget him? Uh-oh. All right, but you know what? Don't get so mad at Mary. Because you and I, sometimes on a daily basis. All right, some of you, even this morning, you come in or even tonight and you're just kind of awe and you're like, oh, that is just so beautiful. And let me just pause. All right, how much does a harp cost? Is it like $3,000, $4,000, $5,000? It's just a small little one. I mean, just like a play one. You know, you can get them for $3,000 to $5,000. All right, but that one's not. Okay, all right. So those of you, I know some of you are sitting down here and the little three-year-olds or five-year-olds. All right, parents, remember, all right, that's not even a $3,000 one. All right, so like, oh, I love my parents. I would love them too, all right? I'm like, oh, I'm selling that. I'm going to throw that in the building fund thing, all right? But anyway, all right? But I was just throwing that out there just to help you understand, those of you that are like, I want to play that. No, all right, no. Find another instrument. All right, got a kazoo, all right? It can fit in your stocking. All right. But anyways, we have no idea what that has to do with the reasons here. But you were careless. All right, careless with this multi-million dollar harp sitting next to me. All right. But carelessness. And what do we mean by carelessness? All right, we're in church. And that's where we were headed. We sing the songs. Oh, it was so beautiful to be at church. And by the time you get home, you're already thinking, maybe it's a mania, and you're already thinking, all right, how can I sneak off and do something maybe a little perverted? I'm already thinking, hey, you know what? Hey, kid, shut up. Oh, what about the awe-inspiring music? I guess it didn't last long. Why? Because you're careless with the special things that God gives you. Careless with the things that our Savior presents to us. And the worship, coming together as a church and worshiping, is very special. And then we walk out the door and toss it. How careless of us. The Bible tells us in this passage, be careful. All right, be careful. Let me close with another careless illustration. Remember Judges chapter 16? Let me share another careless instance. Judges chapter 16, that's the story of Samson. Well, he's telling my preacher boys should have known that as soon as I said it, right? Judges 16, they were on it. Judges 16, they should have automatically thought Samson, all right? But the story of Samson, what happened? Well, in verse 19, it says, and she made him sleep upon her knees. She called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. She began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not. He supposed that God was with him. He supposed. What's sad to me is individuals that come to church regularly and they sit and they hear the preaching of God's word and then they suppose that Christ is with them and he's not. Be very careful. Be very careful that you're not heading down some road and Christ isn't with you. As we close, I don't think it's hard. I don't think it's hard to remedy the problem. I'm glad that Mary and Joseph teach us a very easy thing. It's not complicated. Look at what happened. It says, but they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance, and when they found him not, how do I get back there? They turned back. And then notice not just that, and they sought him. Turn back and seek him. James says what? You want to draw nigh? You draw nigh to me. And it's not a maybe. I will draw nigh to you. I will. In your life, make sure that you're not without Christ. You say, oh, I've got it set. My eternity is set. But I could list out, and we don't have time because I told you I'd only have 2 points. But we could go through Scripture, and I could show you folks like King David. I could show you folks like Elijah even. I could show you folks in the Bible who at some point, man, they were there. They had God. And then they went away. And just like Samson, they get up and they say, just like other times, I have strength. And some of you, you're saying that I have strength. And in your flesh, you may exist for a little bit. Samson did. He broke some of the things. But eventually, it's too far. Remember, in our lives, it's very, very vital that Christ is with me. And if he's not, I'm going to turn back and I'm going to seek him. And the Bible says this, if you seek him, you'll find him.